The blessing of Christ's work is that you don't get to live on the outskirts of heaven. You get to go right before the face of God and enjoy Him. God Himself is with us.
We are so blessed by God, aren't we? As believers in Christ, we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. And what an amazing truth that is. And it is that truth we're exploring today here on this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're in Exodus 29, looking at the dwelling of God and how it is that we come to be a part of that dwelling. Join us, won't you, with this edition of Abounding Grace now. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
He says, "It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever." So in other words, God received the gifts, the generous portions, and he gave back to the priests. Why? Because he had set them apart to give their lives specifically to set apart to minister all these blessings back to them. This is so wonderful. This generous share would go right back to the priests so that they could devote their lives to serve them and represent them in his presence. It taught them how God provides for them and that the priests had to live dependent on the offerings of the people. We live dependent on the generosity of God, don't we? The whole system is displaying something. As the priests were set apart and didn't work, and the people provided, it demonstrated, didn't it? They had to live dependent on the offerings, just as the people lived dependent on the Lord's provisions. It was a visual of how God provides constantly. Constantly. Salvation is a free gift to us. You didn't earn that. When God brought you out of Egypt, if so to speak, what I mean is brought you out of your sins and the dominion and out of the world and opened up your eyes and saved you, he set apart people to minister to you, didn't he? We just think this is automatic. We think this is a right. You didn't set this up. I didn't set this up. I can say honestly, I didn't even really choose it. I don't know that I would be doing this. I did choose it because the Lord put that burden in my heart. The Lord put that desire in my heart. But it was his calling. And so think about the beauty of salvation that he sets apart people and a ministry that are intended to ultimately bless you. Think about the ministry of the gospel to you. Think about all that happens in this ministry of what goes on. Elders who pray for you. Everyone is somewhat scared of elders. We're trying to break down that fear among our young people. They're not men out to get you. When you come to profess your faith, trust me, this is the greatest day for us. These men are set apart to love you, to pray for you, to care for you, to lead you in God's word, to help you when you're struggling. I would love it if our young people could say, "I so see God's blessing to me in these men that I'm going to call my elder and just talk to him when I'm struggling." Wouldn't that be awesome? We have that kind of relationship. Or when we looked at the diaconate and said, "I know when I have a need, they're not there to judge me. It's not a ministry of scrutiny. It's a ministry of mercy to help me with needs in this life." All set up to be a blessing, isn't it? It's all set up to be a blessing. Or when you look at your pastor, who sometimes has to speak the truth, always speak the truth, but has to speak the truth in ways that are confrontive and that press you, you say, "That man really loves me because his ultimate goal is my salvation, not to get me." That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Our giving into that reflects something. See? Our giving reflects something. It reflects how thankful we are for all his blessing to us, for all his salvation to us. Remember, Paul was talking about giving, and he said this principle in the New Testament. It comes right out of this. "In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." And he would talk about this in the New Testament, about how we are supported and how we are provided for. This all demonstrated something that was put in place that meant the Lord was near. The Lord was with us. The Lord is caring for us. The Lord is shepherding us. It's not me, ultimately, who's doing the shepherding. I'm an ambassador and a representative of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your shepherd. The second way the Lord demonstrated his presence was the introduction of a covenant meal here. This is really beautiful too. With the priests and the Lord, you'll notice the ordination continued. You notice that the holy garments were put on them. And in verse 29, it says that they were on, shall be on his sons that come after him. So this ceremony would happen, and all the priests would wear these garments for 7 days, and they would sit down and they would have a covenant meal eating these things. Verse 33, you'll notice, it says, and they shall eat these things by which the atonement was made at their ordination and consecration. They shall be dressed 7 days. And then the priests ate a communion meal with God. 7 days during their ordination. When I was a kid, I never understood how the church worked. I just, it always seemed so scary to me, and it always seemed like, where does this stuff come from? You know, why do we do what we do? And why do we have these men that walk out of this door here? And why all this stuff? Who put all this in place? Why are we laying hands on people, which we're going to do in January when new men are set up here? Why does a pastor have to go through all that? Imagine an Israelite here asking those questions. What in the world does all this mean? Mom, Dad, what's going on? We look at ministry as sort of something that's out there and far from us and something that we don't quite understand. It shouldn't be. That's one thing I think we can do a lot better job of as elders and deacons and pastors, as I'm trying to explain tonight, of making the ministry clear to you, to understand it, to be a blessing to you, and that it's not something foreign or scary or something. It's meant to be for you. Well, here we are, and think about all this stuff. Ceremonies, 7-day robings, eatings, cleansing of the altar. They then sit down and eat. On those garments were what? Their names. This is for them. This is what priests do. There's things happening through the work of the priests. The people had fellowship and communion with God. Now we'll come back to this. So when all the priests were cleansed and sanctified and sat down with God and ate the covenant meal, those priests were representing the people whose names are all over them. They saw in that God himself was with them and communing with them. We're going to come to some amazing sections here, and we have looked back in chapter 24 when this did happen. His presence was there. He was feeding them in the wilderness. What is one of the greatest ways to encourage people? Well, I'll tell you. The greatest way to encourage you is so that you know this going out this week, and you know when you come back next week, you're meeting with God. A real understanding, we didn't set this up, we didn't make this up, we didn't put a sacrament table here, we didn't invent baptism or the Lord's Supper, that the Lord set this up so that you would know you're really meeting with him. The greatest encouragement is that you're not alone in this life. You're not going through this life on your own. The Lord's presence is with you. This is the last thing Jesus said in the Great Commission. Lo, I'm with you always. He wasn't joking. I'm with you. God delights to be with you. There's going to be a day when it's face to face in the resurrection. That's what makes heaven so glorious. Right now it's spirit and truth, isn't it? You're not alone. The priesthood was meant to encourage them in the ministry of the gospel They didn't put that in place. That was his ministry to them. His. Think now the whole picture. What have we learned? They're bearing sins. They're making atonement. They are covered in blood. Remember, blood was put on those beautiful garments? Splat, splat, splat. They're walking up, covered in blood, carrying the people right on up into the presence of God. And then sitting down and communing with them in a meal. Well, God was always setting before the people that a provision had to be made for God to dwell with them. Blood's all over them. You now understand what all this is saying. Israel was being taught the gospel. And what's a sad thing we have seen happen with ministries? Well, we can start with Israel. What happened to the ministry of the priesthood in Israel? This is where some people, maybe you're a visitor tonight and you send back and you say, I've seen so much chicanery in the Christian church. I've seen so much goofiness. I've seen so much abuse. I have a hard time believing any of this. This is where Israel helps us a little bit. When we look at the Old Testament and Israel under the law, what happened to the priesthood? As I was thinking about it, you have a summary section captured, and you know it well, in this. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They didn't know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was still boiling, and he'd thrust it in the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did it in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires, he would then answer him, no, but you must give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Corrupt. They weren't in it for the people. They were all in it for their own gain. And the Lord says, I'm done with this. Well, that's what happened and what you're seeing happen with Jesus in the gospel, with all the religious leaders of Israel. The whole thing became corrupt, and these shepherds lost the sheep. They didn't love them, and they didn't give the ministry to them as he wanted. The people then were burdened. Who wants to give to that? The fat belonged to the Lord, and the priest, due to their greed, totally abused the offerings of God's people so that no one even wanted to give. That's where the old covenant went. Maybe you've seen this in Christian churches. Maybe you've seen we're all fallen men, and you've seen abuses, and it's a sad thing when a church doesn't give. I've always thought that a healthy sign of a church that's functioning well are people who are joyfully coming to the house of the Lord and receiving from him forgiveness and grace and wanting to see that ministry flourish beyond these walls, right? Wanting to see everyone come in and receive it. I'm going to give to that. That's healthy. That's beautiful. That's the intention. But men mess it up. So that in the last book of the Bible, Malachi, listen to Malachi. This is in the Old Testament. And now you priests, this warning is for you. If you don't listen and you will not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord, I'll send curse on you and I'll curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. I sent you this warning that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace. I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he reverenced me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. That's the ministry. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge. Because he's the messenger of the Lord Almighty. The people, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you've turned from the way and that by your teaching you've caused many to stumble. Well, just everything this morning, wasn't it? That's why truth matters. You violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I've caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people because you've not followed my ways, shown partiality in matters of the law. When men mess up the ministry, he makes something beautiful. Look what we do. Well, all that to say tonight, you needed a more perfect high priest, didn't you? Who would recover the ministry of the gospel to the people. What is so powerful about Jesus' priesthood? Well, where do you find selfishness? He gave you everything. God wanted them to know that he always had a continual ministry to them. Don't you find it interesting that this section has at the end of it, I want you to sacrifice a lamb morning and night perpetually. And that's going to be a sweet-smelling aroma to me. The smoke of the sacrifice would go up, be a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. As the priest ministered those sacrifices, it all anticipated something. It all anticipated that when John would look at Jesus, he'd say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's our priest. He's our high priest. Who shed his own blood right up on into the presence of God, and he bore our sins on his back for us. So that when Paul would think of Jesus in Ephesians, he would say, he is a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hebrews would say, it's evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which the tribe of Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood, and yet it's far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek, this is a whole other subject, but I just want to show you, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an indestructible life. He testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, a perfect high priest who constantly sympathizes with you, for you in all your weaknesses, who was tempted in every way, yet never sinned, and bore your sins all the way up to give you a great gift. What has Jesus done for you? He's carried you close to his heart all the way up Golgotha. Shed his blood. And in the midst of that, he instituted a what? A meal. A meal. We call it the Lord's Supper. A meal that has opened it up for all of you. All of you to come. All of you to eat. He didn't just give you a meal just like the priest that sat down and ate it. Think of what he did. The eternal high priest has invited you so that you get the privilege every time the supper is served to commune, and all the people of God get to know God himself is with us. He is feeding you. You know how blessed you are? This is his ministry to you. That's for present. Soon we'll be in glory. I love the story of John Patton, a missionary years ago to the cannibals and the natives. He tells the first time he gave the Lord's Supper to them, believing the gospel. For years, he says, we toiled and prayed and sought for this. At the moment when I put the bread and wine into those dark hands, once stained with the blood of cannibalism, but now stretched out to receive and partake the emblems and seals of the Redeemer's love, I had a foretaste of the joy of glory that well nigh broke my heart to pieces. I shall never taste a deeper bliss till I gaze on the glorified face of Jesus himself. Imagine that. He's with you. This is his ministry to you. It's not gone away. How do you value it? It's a lot of wonderful things he's done for you. You have a high priest who constantly ministers, who prays for you, who intercedes and mediates for you, whose one sacrifice on the cross has covered you forever. Do you think, you ever think that when you eat the bread and drink, it's the very encouragement that God Himself is with you, feeding you, feeding your souls? Christ has invited us to His table, promises that He's made atonement for our sins, that He is our altar, and that His garments are given to make us all kings and priests to our God. So don't forget the bigger picture of all this tonight. That's what I close with. Don't forget the bigger picture of what all this is saying to us. The blessing of Christ's work is that you don't get to live on the outskirts of heaven. You get to go right before the face of God and enjoy Him. God Himself is with us. Let us now adore Him and with awe appear before Him. God is in His temple. Let all the world keep silence. Prostrate lie with deepest reverence. Him alone, God we own. He's our God and Savior. We should praise His name forever. Let's pray to Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for encouraging us with something that is hard for us and complex. And yet the bigger picture is not hard to discern. We want a ministry here where the people so understand it, understand the fight for the truth, understand what You set us apart as pastors to speak the truth, to not be compromised, to not be shallow, to be direct and exposing of what's right and what's wrong, so that people would know the Savior and that the people here would understand the work of the elders and the deacons. That's all a ministry of righteousness to us. And that we would faithfully do that because we're great sinners and could fall any minute, representing the true shepherd, the true high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in this, because who's sufficient for these things? We're weak and we're great sinners. May Your people have a greater understanding tonight through this of how blessed they are and all You've done for them to set up this ministry, to help them along the way until we are looking and gazing upon the face of our high priest forever and enjoying that meal in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, have a wonderful weekend. Be found in the Lord's house, won't you? And then when you join us on Monday, we'll be back in the book of Exodus, taking a look at chapter 30, making prayer a priority. That's Monday here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.